With me is Chantal Marx, who is Head of Investment Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, always good to chat to you. And it's good to have this conversation as we near December. It's almost upon us in terms of understanding what people are doing with their money right now from a retail investor perspective. There are a number of items from a news flow perspective. Of course, We Buy Cars coming out with excellent results, and that stock just seems to be hitting new all-time highs. And then we've got the Boxer listing on the 28th of November. Many really, really excited about that opportunity that is being presented. Talk to me about what you deem to be the most important elements at the moment.
Yes, so we're certainly seeing a lot of interest from retail investors in names that they know. And I think that that is one of the reasons why the Boxer IPO has been there's been so much buzz created around it. And we've been taking applications from clients, and we have to give them a very small allocation because it was several times oversubscribed. But the reality is that people know the Boxer name. They see Boxers pop up everywhere. They see the value proposition that Boxer offers the market, and it makes sense for them to invest in that. And we saw a similar thing with We Buy Cars post the listing. People know the name. It's a trusted name in an industry that doesn't have a lot of trust being used vehicles. And people can understand how We Buy Cars can continue to grow their business over the next 5 to 10 years. And certainly from a results perspective, We Buy Cars showed us that they are delivering the goods. So earnings generation and the earnings outlook is actually keeping up with that share price that has more than doubled since the listing. So the valuation still doesn't seem that demanding. And again, Boxer doesn't seem very expensive at 54 Rand. So I think investors are looking for value, and I think they're looking for things that they understand.
Before we move off the South African market, are there other pockets of value that you've identified that you could share with us?
Yes, so there are two segments of the market that I still think has a lot to do. So from a lesser loved and lesser known perspective, within that small to mid-cap space, these hardcore industrial companies like Invicta and Udeco and Rynet, I think that they are going to be kind of mid-cycle plays when it comes to the SA Inc. story and the optimism around GNU and better investment, better business and consumer confidence. And those stocks are still trading on single-digit PEs. And some of them, like Rynet, for example, offers a very chunky dividend yield as well. And then the second pocket of value in the South African space, I think, is actually in the industrial rand hedges. So the likes of Richemont or Amondi. I think that these companies have been left behind. Some of that China exposure and Europe exposure hasn't been a chosen space for investors. So I think that there's value there. And those are companies that you have in your portfolio as a core portfolio holding for a very long time.
On the international front, US President-elect Donald Trump naming Scott Bessent as his choice for US Treasury Secretary. And Scott Bessent being a hedge fund manager. So market seems to have gotten very excited about this appointment and what it will mean for markets in general going forward.
Yeah, so I think that the market was just looking for a safe pair of hands. And I don't think that there's much in terms of financial engineering that you can do with the fiscus and particularly the US debt situation at the moment. But there might be some interesting strategies that are going to be employed in order to righten the ship somewhat. The US has extremely high levels of debt. They're constantly in breach or close to breaching their debt ceiling. There's always the threat of these government shutdowns. We know the Republican Party stance on these big deficits that the country's been running. So I think the fact that he's a known name from a business perspective, and perhaps he can do something a little bit different, may have excited the market. I'm a little bit more circumspect. I prefer a technocrat and a more academic approach to fiscal management. But I mean, you never know. We'll have to wait and see. It's one of those unknowns in the US political sphere at the moment.
We need to talk about crypto because Bitcoin is toying with that $100,000 level, and it's about the crypto assets generally, the positive Trump trade that is enhancing the nuance towards crypto. What is your advice to people who phone in and say, Chantal, have I missed the crypto boat? What should I do? This asset is rallying. Should I be selling all my stocks in South Africa and buying into crypto? I can see already horror on your face.
Yes. So what we always tell clients is that the crypto asset class is still quite new. Certainly, it does add return to a portfolio if you look at it from the start of crypto, right? But there's a lot of uncertainty going forward when it comes to the impact that regulation can possibly have on crypto assets. It also tends to be quite volatile. So what we tell crypto bulls is, yes, have an allocation. You clearly want this allocation. But keep it at around or keep it at a maximum of about 5% of your total portfolio. So you'll have equity investments both locally and abroad. You'll have fixed income investments. You'll have money market savings for your emergency savings as well, and perhaps tactically to take advantage of opportunities as they come up. But from a Bitcoin perspective, I would rather be cautious to have my exposure, but don't bet the house.
Resources on the South African front, gold coming down hard, and that has hit some of the top resource players. Do you have any thoughts about how we should play the resource stocks going forward?
Yes, so I do think that it is time to start thinking about pivoting out of gold stocks in particular and looking at the diversified miners that are not trading at very expensive levels, but are less exposed to specific commodities. So if you look at a big diversified miner, let's say BHP, you're going to have a copper play, which is a long-term story. You're going to have an iron ore play where demand tends to be quite stable over time. And then other bits and pieces that kind of makes it less volatile. With gold, I think the miners are still going to be printing cash. But as that gold price, or if that gold price continues to come down, free cash flow yields will just compress, and you have to be mindful of that. So for now, I'm happy to move into the diversified miners. I do think that there's a lot of value there. I'm skeptical about the PGM guys, but I do think a time will come where it also makes sense to get back in there.
Something like Sibanye and their foray into renewable energy, does that ignite your appetite?
So that makes me less scared of Sibanye, because I do think that they are future focused. They are looking towards metals of the future. The reality for them, though, is that they're going to have to make a lot of investment over the next few years to actually get that going. And in the meantime, they're very dependent on PGMs and to a lesser extent to gold. If gold prices come down from these record highs, as I mentioned, you do get that margin compression on the mines, and PGMs could take a while still to recover. So I'm still on the sidelines with Sibanye. I'm just less scared of them now because I know that they have a long-term view.
There are a number of asset managers out there who are overweight the banks. They really like that asset class. Do you share in that opinion?
So I think the banks, I feel very similar to the retail space at the moment. I think that we've had some really solid gains and probably run a little bit ahead of their fair values. So my suggestion would be to trim some of that profit, maintain exposure, because these companies will continue to benefit from an improvement in consumer and business confidence, a pickup in growth that we expect over the next few years. So the growth will be there. Perhaps just be at weight instead of heavily overweight at the moment.
I don't want you to end this interview and think Bronwyn didn't ask me the right question. So you're the one that is focused on the market day in and day out. What else should we be chatting about as we approach December?
So I think one of the big questions that we have at the moment is, when is the right time to really start thinking about trimming that US tech exposure, particularly when it comes to the semiconductor space? So we've had big moves in the likes of an NVIDIA this year. We have had really strong returns from US tech. But yeah, I mean, you still have the prospect of 80 to 100% growth in a company like NVIDIA over the next 2 years. I think it's probably wise to start thinking about trimming a little bit, perhaps looking for exposure elsewhere in the offshore space. I think Europe consumer looks really interesting at the moment. And I still think that there's some value in that US small and mid-cap space, even following the Trump rally.
And Buffett's trimming of his position in tech stocks?
Yeah, so
as a signal.
Yeah, Yeah, so I think that that could perhaps be a leading signal. I mean, he's called the Oracle of Omaha, and that is the name that naming that he's received for a reason. So I think that him pulling back on Apple, perhaps also telling the market that this company is expensive. I mean, he's the ultimate value investor, right? But he still looks for fantastic companies at reasonable valuations. And when something starts looking expensive, he's going to trim. And I think that is probably a good lesson to learn generally. You can be exposed to something and trim your position and still benefit from the upside, but just make sure that you lock in some profits and perhaps look for better opportunities elsewhere.
And as the market approaches December, what happens when we've got Thanksgiving on Thursday out of the US? So US markets are closed a half day or a shorter day on Friday. How do you approach the holiday season from a South African perspective? Do you get some downtime or do you go hunting for opportunities?
No, we absolutely get some downtime. Market volumes fall quite substantially from the second week of December through New Year's. So I think that it is an opportunity to actually step away from the markets a little bit. But I think that you can still watch it keenly with one eye because those opportunities are there. Perhaps take some of those profits you've trimmed from US tech, from SA retail, from SA banks, and then see if any of these interesting opportunities actually crop up while everyone else is resting and having a swim in the sea.
I did say that was the last question, but I just want to go deeper into the tail of stocks in the South African investment space. You mentioned a couple of the mid-tier caps earlier in our conversation. Do you pay a lot of attention to the small caps and mid-tier? There's not a lot of research out there, and many retail investors often ask, how do I get my hands on research around those smaller companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange?
So there are a few providers of small and mid-cap research. FNB Stockbroking and Portfolio Management is one of them. So we have a team of analysts who look at about 150 local stocks, and the biggest chunk of those stocks would be in the small and mid-cap space. I think that you often miss opportunities because you're only focused, or investors are only focused on the big names, but there are some gems out there. And what I always try to keep in mind is that a lot of the big companies that are very loved right now by investors and have grown a lot over the last 10 to 15 years used to be in the small and mid-cap space. Capitec was a small cap once. Mr. Price was a small cap once. Even Naspers was a mid-cap once. So I think it's important to keep an eye on that and find a research provider that can help you identify those opportunities.
Chantal, great catching up. Thank you so much for your time. Chantal Marx is the Head of Investment Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, joining us here on BizNews.